Good day, everyone. Welcome to a special audio feature on bullmarketrun.com on this 3rd of February, 2011, a day when we've had a big reversal in gold. Despite the weakness we saw in gold in January, the CDNX was telling us not to worry that gold was nearing a bottom and would soon start climbing back up, and that's exactly what we're seeing. The CDNX today closed up about 40 points, a new 52-week high of 2364, breaking convincingly through that resistance around 2300, gold up $20 an ounce as we speak here at 1 o'clock Pacific time. One very exciting situation we see on the CDNX right now is GoldQuest Mining, GQC, on the TSX Venture Exchange, which has an impressive pipeline of advanced as well as early-stage exploration projects in the Dominican Republic, as well as the Terral lead zinc silver deposit in Spain. We're very pleased here today to have with us, on the line from his home in Toronto, the recently appointed chairman of GoldQuest, Mr. Bill Fisher. This is an individual with impressive credentials in the industry. He is highly respected. Mr. Fisher is a professional geologist with 30 years experience as a geologist and mining company executive. From 2000 until 2008, he was the CEO of Globestar Mining, which developed, financed, and built the Dominican Republic's first copper mine, Cerro de Maimon. Globestar was taken over, of course, in December. Mr. Fisher was also chairman of Aurelian Resources, which was acquired by Kinross for over $1 billion in 2008. He was also vice president exploration for a major base metal mine and smelting company responsible for exploration programs in 9 countries. Bill, it is a great pleasure and honor to have you on VMR today for the very first time. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me on.
You came on board as a director, Bill, of GoldQuest last year, and just 2 weeks ago you accepted the position of chairman, so congratulations on that. What convinced you to accept that appointment and take on this added responsibility?
Well, GoldQuest is a company I've known for a long time. They were working in the Dominican Republic at the time when we were constructing the mine, and very professional people I've known for 20 years in various other companies. And they've been extremely successful. They had a joint venture with Gold Fields, a South African major gold company. And out of that joint venture, with many years of very professional work, out have come just recently the new deposits, which the company is proud of. And it is quite rare because many companies buy projects or acquire other projects. In GoldQuest's case, our lead project here, Escandalosa, we actually found ourselves.
Yeah, there's been a lot of grassroots exploration work that has gone into GoldQuest's properties in the DR for a decade now. Regular BMR readers will know, Bill, that we have been consistently bullish on the geological potential of the Dominican Republic, which of course is home to one of the world's largest gold deposits, Pueblo Viejo. As a geologist, Bill, can you please explain to us what makes the DR so rich in mineralization?
Well, the DR is a series of island arc systems, which is where gold is commonly found. And it's like volcanic systems, and Pueblo Viejo is one of the largest volcanic, you know, gold-bearing volcanic systems in the world. And it's going in production next year, I believe, with Barrick in the and Gold Corp putting a $3.4 billion investment in. The mineral deposits go all the way through into Cuba, where there's a number of metal deposits as well, but nothing like what we have in the Dominican. There's also the big nickel mine there, which is owned by Xstrata. What we have there, we are further along towards the west, about 200 kilometers from Pueblo Viejo. It's a slightly different geological formation, but the same thing is that the geology is running along this island arc system. And you know, there's liable to be other deposits. We hope there's other Pueblo Viejos, but we're pretty proud of what we found.
GoldQuest has been exploring in the DR, as I mentioned, for nearly a decade. You have an impressive pipeline of advanced and early-stage projects there, Bill. Let's start with La Escandalosa, which you are currently drilling. This is a flat-lying body with open pit potential. 18 meters of 16.3 grams per ton gold was just one result you got last summer. What impresses me is that you already have a 43-101 inferred resource of 400,000 ounces based on just 25 holes from one area. Wide open Open going north and south. What are you hoping to learn, Bill, from the 40 or so holes that you're drilling right now?
Yeah, we made a very careful plan, and we, as I say, we're doing 42 holes at the moment. We're about hole number 11 so far has been drilled, and the first few holes have already left the country for the assay labs. Mm-hmm. So we should be getting some announcements in the next few weeks on the drilling. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is twofold. Firstly is to extend the deposit north and south. As you said, it's open, and you know, the central area is well known within most of the 25 holes are drilled there. So we'll be extending north and south, basically following from what we know to what we don't know. The mapping has been very carefully done, so we know that the mineralized horizon continues, but we don't know a grade until we get the drill results back. And the second part of the program is to infill some of the existing 400,000 ounces, and we will get fresh drill core, and this will be going off the metallurgical laboratories to work out any extractive techniques. It looks fairly simple, but let's get that information involved. Like all these things, it's a staged program, and you try and get as much information from the money and the drilling that you're doing. So we're doubling the number of drill holes. We rather hope we'll get an extension to the north. There's an area 2 kilometers or 1.6 kilometers to the north called Honda Valley, where there was mineralization of exactly the same type. And let's hope we can link them up. The existing 400,000 ounces is over a section about 350 meters long. So we hope that we can extend our deposit to a point where we can move towards the million ounce primary target, which we're looking for.
Yeah, lots of room for expansion here. Now, the drilling to date has primarily been very shallow, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, it's because the ore body is lying in the shallow formation. It's flat country, but it's flat lying ore body. But in this case, the country is quite steep, so to the east, the mountain climbs, if you like, and so the stripping ratio gets very high, so it's unlikely to be economic there. So it's to the north and the south, and the beauty of it is it doesn't go deep. It seems like it's flat lying. This has big implications because if you ever get around to mining it, it's a low stripping ratio, or you have to maybe move 2 or 3 tons to get to the ore. Typically, an open pit can have up to 10 or even 20 to 1 stripping ratio. So the economics could be really quite compelling. But again, we have to do our studies. We have to see the size we have. Currently, the 400,000 ounces would equate in the current gold price to about $600 or $700 million of metal in the ground, easily extractable. So we're confident that we can do something with this little discovery we've made, and hopefully it'll become a big discovery.
Assuming you're able to prove up what you think you may have at Escondilosa, how easy would it be, Bill, to put this property into production? What's the infrastructure like in that area? Can you go into some more detail on that? And do you anticipate any significant environmental or political hurdles that you may have to overcome?
Well, certainly it's quite steep country. We're up in the mountains of the Dominican Republic, but you can drive right up to the property on a road. It takes a while, but you can get to the property. The nearest power line is about 15 or 20 kilometers away, where there's a hydroelectric scheme. The chances are we'd probably use generators on site. So I'd say the infrastructure is moderate. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. Politically, I don't have any problems myself, having worked there for over a decade, and the regulatory framework is very conducive to mining. Mining is a very major part of the country's economy, probably only second to tourism in the Dominican Republic. So as long as you follow the rules and you do everything correctly, as we did, I don't see any problems from a regulatory basis.
Very good to hear. Another property of considerable merit you have in the DR, Bill, is Las Animas. Where is that in relation to Escondilosa? And tell us what makes Las Animas so intriguing.
Well, Las Animas is a very different deposit. This is very, very similar geologically to Cerro de Maimon, the mine that we put into production in Globestar. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's further east towards the central mining district of the country, near Pueblo Viejo and Globestar. Globestar Cerro de Maimon. This is a massive sulfide. It's a copper-rich deposit, but it's polymetallic copper, gold, silver, and zinc are present in the deposit. It would be an underground opportunity because it's semi-vertical. It's been drilled down to about 300 meters, and it's open at depth and along the strike. Some very good drill holes, 2.5-3% copper over big widths. We're going to do a program as soon as the drill rig is finished at Escandalosa. We'll move the rig over to Las Animas. There are two opportunities. Currently, the 43-101 resource is about 1 million tons. If it stays at that level, then we'd probably look to make an arrangement to custom mill this material, because, of course, we're in a mining district where there are mills. Alternatively, we plan to grow this, and there's some very good targets in the area who've never been drilled, and see if we can get enough critical mass to consider the infrastructure as a standalone mine. And these we'll be looking at that probably in about 3 months' time. When we finish the 42 holes at Escandalosa, we'll move straight on to Las Animas. We want to continue the news flow and show the world exactly what we've got, and we'll put it into the 43-101 format so people can clearly make an evaluation of where the company's going.
The 43-101 inferred resource for Las Animas stands right now at 129,000 ounces of gold, 2.5 million ounces of silver, 106 million pounds of copper, and 130 million pounds of zinc. So that's a pretty good base to start with.
Yes, it is. I'd like to see it bigger. Of course I would. We believe that there's more. We know because it's open at depth. So it's liable to continue because some of the best drilling was at the deeper part of the ore body. Obviously, being vertical, you want to have as much as possible close to surface. But we'll be doing all the studies. We're very familiar with this type of deposit, and we're confident we can really demonstrate some value to shareholders.
Cerro de Maimon is not too far away from Las Animas, about 100 kilometers, I believe. Is that correct?
100 kilometers by tar road, field road all the way. And then that would cost you about $20 per ton to ship it that distance in the Dominican.
So there are some potential production synergies between those two operations.
Well, certainly we would look to have discussions with the Globestar, which has now been bought by the Australian group Pirelli.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides Escandalosa and Las Animas, what are your other highest priorities in the DR?
We have a project called Jengibre, which is along the same gold-bearing belt as Escandalosa. It's about 30 or 40 kilometers away, but they're both in the hills, so they would never be a single operation just because of the way the landscape lies. Had some interesting drill holes in there, certainly some very interesting geochemistry and geophysical targeting. We're going to be taking a drill rig up there straight after Las Animas. This is an earlier stage, but geologically it looks exactly the same, as far as I can see, as the Escandalosa project. So we want to learn as much as we can from Escandalosa and apply that knowledge to the Jengibre target. Wait and see. That'll be happening probably in the summer. We'll be going there. So you can see we're just going to go project to project to project as the year goes on. There's been no 43-101 resource at Jengibre yet, and that will be one of the things that we want to consider from our drilling program, which will inform the market of how large that program will be as we go forward.
Now, a major project you picked up in 2009 is the Terral lead-zinc-silver deposit in northwest Spain. I'm quite intrigued by that. I don't think the market is really giving you full value for that situation yet. It has an impressive historical non-compliant 5.4 million tons, grading 9% zinc, 6% lead, 45 grams per ton silver. That's a very significant asset. Can you explain to our listeners how you see this property fitting into your strategic plans?
Well, we're very pleased to have got this. We acquired this from the Lundin Group in 2009. Very interesting project. Good high grade of lead and zinc, both metals that are currently getting more and more attention at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We like it a lot. What we see is the ore resource there. It's not a 43-101 resource, and so our first step is to get this into a format that is acceptable and understandable by the market. So we've started, and we've announced that we're preparing the 43-101 resource, which hopefully will be out shortly. That's really the starting point, because working closely with our consultants, Micon International, we'll be working out a plan what to do with the project. We certainly see our entry into northwest of Spain, that's a highly mineralized area that's been mined since Roman times, the Terral project is really the stepping stone to move into increasing our land position in the area. Terral, as you say, it's, you know, let's hope it all turns out to be 5 million plus, maybe bigger if we continue exploring. We would like to see this, you know, as the basis for an area play. Mm-hmm. Spain is very easy to work in. Obviously, many of our operational crew are Spanish-speaking, like I am, and so it's a very easy thing for a company to do, and the skills we have in the country are very transferable to Spain.
Now, on the corporate side of things, Bill, the company is still searching, of course, for a new president and CEO. Is a decision on that fairly near at hand, and would it be fair to say that you're playing a major role in that recruitment process?
Well, I think the idea that we need a more technical CEO is something that we recognize for some time. I'm a PGO, as you said earlier on. I know many people in the industry, and all I can say is I expect you should just look at the press releases coming out shortly.
Okay, well, that's a good little clue. So we look forward to that. In December, you announced you were accelerating the expiry date of warrants from last April's financing. The new deadline was January 24th. Given the stock price, I have to assume all those warrants were exercised. Is that the case, and what is the company's current financial position?
Currently, we have about $3.9 million in the till right now, mm-hmm. and the program of Escandalosa is just over $1 million, so we have plenty of money to do that, and the following programs at Las Animas, mm-hmm. and the Jengibre, and the further development work in Spain. So we have the cash to do all that stuff. We've been very disciplined about our approach. The warrants brought in about $2 million, so we made the announcement earlier in the year from Escandalosa. This moved the share price up. This put the warrants into the above 35 cents. That means we could accelerate the exercise. Mm-hmm. This means we did a financing without the non-brokered financing, doubling our treasury. Mm-hmm. Now, we rather hope that we can produce 43-101 programs, we can beef up our management team, we can have some drilling results of four projects, and we rather hope we can move forward, and of course we'll need to finance as we go through our funds, but we believe that all the programs have been thought out very carefully, and that we can demonstrate to the market our professionalism, and if the market supports us, then we will be financing at higher levels.
Well, certainly your professionalism is being, I think, indicated, in the way the stock has performed over the last several months. I think the market really is excited about the potential here, so congratulations on that, and I think it's going to be a very interesting year for GoldQuest. Will the company be at the PDAC in Toronto in early March?
Yes, we've got the core shack. We decided to show some of the core. The core is very impressive, and we'd like to invite people to come and see us, and we can show the core, and I'll be there, and some of the other geologists are coming from the countries, and all English-speaking as well, so any questions can be answered, and be very, very pleased to see you.
Yeah, the core from that you'll be showing at that show, where is that from? Escandalosa?
We'll have some from Escandalosa in principle. We'll also have some examples from Toral in Spain, mm-hmm. Las Animas as well. Mm-hmm. The Jengibre stuff, there'll be some, but it's. I think we'll just keep on to the Spanish Toral project, Las Animas and Escandalosa in principle.
Okay, good. One final question, Bill. I can't let you go without getting your comment right now on the situation as far as gold is concerned. What are your thoughts on gold? What kind of a market do you think we might be looking at this year?
Well, I'm cautious. I always plan for the worst, hope for the best. My view on gold is pretty much currency related, to be honest. I think the amount of money that's been printed in the United States means that we would look for a sharp increase in gold price due to the quantitative easing, i.e. printing money. If I was going to hedge forward, I'd hedge forward in Swiss francs, because I believe that will be the gold price will be level in that currency. Mm-hmm. Doing as a gold mining person, I don't particularly wish to conduct business as a currency hedge. I'd rather do it we can do good business and solid business.
Well, everyone's eyes will certainly remain on gold here in the coming weeks. We've had a nice turnaround here just in the last week or so. So that definitely puts the wind at your backs as well with a rising gold price.
Absolutely. I think the gold price is going to rise steadily in the U.S. dollars. I mean, obviously our supporters here in Canada and Canadian dollars, I think... I think the gold is rosy going forward. I'm very pleased to be in this business at this time.
Absolutely. It's a great time to be looking at situations like GoldQuest, and congratulations again, Bill, on becoming chairman of GoldQuest. I think that's very positive news for the company. You've got an impeccable reputation, and I really think that some great things are in store in the coming months here and throughout this year for GoldQuest. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Bill Fisher, chairman of GoldQuest Mining Corporation, joining us here on BullMarketRun.com. Thank you very much again, Bill. We look forward to chatting with you again as well in the near future as things evolve. You're listening to BullMarketRun.com, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.